Hey guys, welcome to the 124 Not Out video podcast. I'm joined by my co-host as usual, my partner in life, my queen, aka Legend Agent. What's up, Baja?
I'm good. I'm very excited. You know, it's a big show today, you know, man. This I can't explain the level of excitement I feel because, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, before I go into my excitement and just the love I have for our next guest, you know, I want to remind everybody that this podcast is streaming on Spotify, iTunes, also on BajaTV.com, RicardoPaulCricketAcademy.com, and 124NotOut.com, as well as our YouTube channel, 124. But let's get back into today and level of excitement.
I think the level of excitement that you have and the fact that this is one of your favorite guests, one of your favorite person in life, you are the person to introduce him today.
I'm getting the chance to introduce the guests.
Yeah, you are the person to introduce them to.
Y'all, this is big. This is big. You know, I'm currently in Atlanta, Georgia, so I have to give it to y'all. That's how we talk in the South. Guys, like this guy, I said to my husband and life partner, I said, listen, you know, when we had the idea for this podcast, I said, you know who come in? He said, yeah, you call him, that your friend. Okay, come in, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the champion, sir champion,
bravo,
bravo, welcome to the 124 Not Out video podcast.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Nice to see you guys again.
Yes,
as always.
Nice, yo. This man and us.
Power couple.
Yeah. Oh, please, you're too sweet. No power couple over here. It's just all love, you know? The powerful man just arrived, the champion, you know? And I just want to go down memory lane a little bit because I thought that this was the best topic for us, right? Because before people knew you as, you know, one of the greatest cricketers to have ever played the game, especially at the franchise level as well, we knew you as an entertainer. Like, to me, that was just you. The liveliness. I've really never seen you sad. And you just have that. And I think that spirit you got from your parents. I don't know your mom as well as I know your dad. But he's always joking around, always laughing. And you're just a born entertainer. You know, you always love to dance. You're obsessed with music and your brethren, Beanie Man, you know, from small, this was Bravo, dancing in the change room, and so on. So
yeah.
It's not a surprise to us that, you know, own one of the leading recording studios in the Caribbean, located in Trinidad, and some of the biggest names in music come through your studio, 47 Production Studio, right? That's the name of it?
Yes, that's it.
How is the studio doing?
Yeah, it has its good times. It has where some of the, as you mentioned before, some of the top artists in the region passed through.
Yeah.
One of the biggest highlights was when Burna Boy passed through.
What?
So that in itself was like, I remember sitting there in the studio and when his entourage pulled up, like my car park could hold like about 16 cars comfortable. He came with popcorn at the same time.
Wow.
So it was like all the cars full all the way across the road into the gas station.
Oh my God.
President pull up.
I would have gone berserk. Like seriously?
Yeah, it was one of the highlights because it was one of the vision that I have any top international artists touching Trinidad.
Yes.
They must know about 47 Production.
Let them know. I mean, that's the place to be. That's the place to record. That's the place to be. And we're so proud, you know?
Yeah. That is pretty exceptional. I mean, you're that kind of guy from day one in terms of when you just started playing cricket. I've always remembered in terms of the vibe that you have on the field and off the field. no matter what's happening on the day in terms of cricket, you always mix cricket with entertainment, because on the field, if nothing is happening, Bravo, come on, something happens.
Something happened.
Something always happens, whether it be ODI, test match, whatever it is, something always happens. And I always wonder, you know, why did you choose like cricket over entertainment when you're such an entertainer?
Well, I think it's because my gift from God also is cricket. You know, that is something you don't know what, you don't have control over that. You know, this is your gift. And, you know, cricket, as you will know, is the number one sport in the Caribbean. And because music is there, but cricket is what unifies the people, especially as the Caribbean people. And then, you know, my father is a big cricket fan.
Yeah, we know that.
For him, having sons is one of the greatest joys for him, so that he's able to see that. I guess he wanted to be a professional cricketer, but
his two sons did it.
He didn't get the talented gift, but he got a different gift where he could produce. You know? And that's his highlight of his life. He always brag and tell people he has two cricketers.
That's amazing.
So yeah, cricket is where I get in. I love music, but I didn't have the talent for music. It's something, but I had a passion for it.
Right.
Over the years, it's something that I grew to love over and over. And but yeah, my gift is cricket. So that's why that's so natural for me to play the sport and fall in love.
Which one do you love more, Brav? Do you? I know what your gift is, but do you? Do you love entertainment and singing and music more than cricket?
No. Definitely cricket. The love I have for cricket is unmatched to anything else. I don't think cricket is my life. Like, even my family, my kids, like my daughter and them, they know that.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm on tour,
yeah,
don't message me for any little random thing. No small talk, no nothing.
Cricket, yeah, cricket.
Yeah. When I'm on tour. Yeah, I don't like to be disturbed. Mm-hmm. Even with my business, my studio, my restaurant, and these things, the staff know, unless it's something really, really important.
Handle your business. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, before we go further, I wanted to just tell our viewers and our listeners that, you know, Dwayne Bravo comes from a, as you says, cricket is his love, and I'm not surprised. He comes from a place where he grew up called Santa Cruz in Trinidad, where the great Brad Lara and many other people, I think out of everywhere else in Trinidad, people in Santa Cruz, at least back then, loved cricket the most. It's like, it was like a rite of passage to grow up playing cricket if you grew up in Santa Cruz, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. A small village, and you know, again, my generation, the generation just before, because West Indies cricket means so much to the Caribbean people, and then Lara coming from there, everybody wanted to be the next Brian Lara, even if it was right-handed, they just wanted to be the next Lara, you know.
Wow. So,
and myself included.
So
I remember when I was like 5 years old, I told my dad I would be the next Brian Lara from Santa Cruz. That was just words. I didn't think it would
And that's how powerful words are.
Very powerful. Very powerful.
Because look where you are now. Look at what you've done, you know?
Yep.
I definitely remember many years ago. I mean, you and I played together. I was there a little bit before you came on scene. And, you know, this young man came in the team immediately with this energy and stuff like that. And to think about almost 20-something years, like, Look at where we are today. And, you know, you, Bravo, you're now pretty much like, I wouldn't even call it close to retirement, but more like the afternoon of your career.
And
in terms of T20 cricket, do you think that you have any plans of calling that retirement road anytime soon?
Well, definitely. I'm going to officially retire from CPL this year for sure. This is my last year.
You heard it here first.
Just so you guys are gonna put it out there first. Not even don't get this news yet.
Your tickets last year for Bravo at CPL.
Yeah, this is my last. I want to finish on a high.
Yes.
preparing myself for that. Also, I think maybe next year after ILT 20 in UAE, might also could possibly be my last real main league tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as you mentioned, Paul, I accept reality. I accept that it's coming closer to the end, and I always wanted to finish in a time when I want to finish, you know, on my terms, and you know, leave the game on a high, leave the game while I'm still enjoying it, you know, and just transition into what I think my next calling is going to be, which is coaching. So I'm really looking forward to that that phase of my life and my career as well.
Definitely. I think that is something that, without a question of a doubt, that like coaching is something that you will do exceptional at. I mean, as I said, your spirit, what you bring to any team, you're down to earth, but you're still serious about your game. And I think people like yourself, Darren, Sami, Karen, Pollard, I mean, that level of energy that you bring to a team, but the level of seriousness, but you understand what players need, and you can bring that to a team. It makes players believe in you as a coach, and then you can excel with any group that you have. So I am really looking forward to that next chapter of your life.
Me too. And you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't know about you is just how kind you are. Like how you helped a lot of people. You brought a lot of people in. It's like when Maya Angelou say, when you learn, teach, when you get, give, and you literally reach back and pull. You can't pull everybody, but you literally did that. And I remember back in the days, like for us, just how long we've had this kind of camaraderie and respect for each other. I remember when we started all story. Remember when we did the photo shoot around the Savannah, Bravo? Ricardo and I came to Trinidad from Jamaica, opened a store. You were the first one there, Dan Ganga as well. Yeah. And that is just how long we've been supporting each other, but you've been supporting everyone that you can. And and I think every single thing that people see you have, it's something you deserve it all because of how much you've put out, even without saying, I did this, I did that. I think we played in our carnival band when we had that section in Poison.
Plenty years back.
But the thing is, Bravo, you've helped a lot of people. And even if they didn't say thanks, I'm saying thank you for just like a lot of the things that you've done and what you continue to do just to help people without wanting anything in return. So God has certainly blessed you because you deserve it, you know? But let's talk about your bowling. It's almost as though we woke up one morning and you became the king of the slower ball. At what stage of your career did you master the art of T20 bowling?
I think obviously when I started my career was in 2004. I started first class in 2002, so it was more just as a batsman. My first set of games for Trinidad and Tobago was an opening batsman. I played for West Indies youth team under 19 and West Indies A as an opening batter. Then bowling started come along. You know, every captain go give me over two here and there. And I remember one time Richard Smith is the one who started to believe in my bowling, you know?
Really?
And he started to give me
former Trinidad captain.
Former Trinidad captain, So he said, "Boss, you know how Smithy does talk?"
I
can't say it on this, hey, boss.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I take your bowling serious. So I was like, So then when I started playing for trying to get wickets and eventually make the test team as an all-rounder, that's when I started to mold myself into being an all-rounder. And it's just by experimenting things. As Paul say, you know, nothing happening, Bravo, come on, something happened.
Something happened.
I just believe in experiment and trying things.
It's a positive vibe thing, though. It's also, it has to do with positive vibes, you know?
And I just my instinct, I always trust my gut instinct and just like, okay, bowler slow, ball, do this. Even in my coachings now, like when I speak to bowlers, they all say, "Sir, how to teach me how to bowl a slow ball, how to do this, how to do that." And it's like, you have your own way of bowling your slower ball, right? It's just a matter of execution. The way how I do it, it mightn't work for you.
Yeah. But
sometimes what you can do, I cannot do. It's just a matter of teaching them and getting them to understand where do you pitch it, right? And getting them to understand the surface also play a part in how you bowl a scoreboard. Some you bowl fuller, some you bowl into the wicket. So it's more about cricket conversation rather than the technical side of things or whatever, because everyone will grip a scoreboard differently. But yeah, it's come from in the nets, it come from experimenting, it's come from competing in the nets. If I'm bowling the ball, I say, oh, this is the field, this is what I want to do. And I put my brain and my body through that work in the nets so that in the game time, I'm prepared for it if I face the circumstances.
Yeah, I think that is exceptional. It also helps when you play 578 T20s. I mean, when you think about the amount of cricket that you have played, I mean, really and truly, you have mastered the art of not only slower bowling, but just understanding cricket in general, especially T20 cricket. And a lot of people, with your kind of experience, I mean, any organization, any board, any country will want to grab you, because that is something that you don't wake up in the morning and get. Players will have to play over 20 years to get that kind of experience. And when you explain it right there and then, for me, as somebody who is coming in now learning to play T20 cricket or test cricket, and meeting somebody like yourself and you breaking it down that simple, it makes it believable. Because as a player talking to a coach, you don't want to hear all the high things. You have to grip the ball this way, you have to grip it like this, blah, blah, blah. You have to make it like
relatable as possible
to a player. So I think that's why I said earlier, in terms of you as a coach and Polly, that when you can break these things down to players like that, it makes it believable, it makes it relatable, and that's how the game is changing. And people have to be able to realize that. And once they do that, then players like yourself who are retiring now will have a better impact on the next generation of cricketers. So I'm really excited for you guys in terms of that field, for sure.
Yeah.
I have a blast on the past for you. check this. You remember this?
You know, funny enough, yesterday I was having
brunch. I think of Roger Sports,
With someone also, a very good friend of y'all. Told me that y'all flew up there to do what? Anya.
An interview. That was a few years ago now. Oh my god, time flies.
Because while we were coordinating yesterday, I told her that I have this interview to do, and she's like, oh my god, say hello to them. They actually flew me up there, they're so nice. And I was like, nice.
We try. You know, that's the thing, a lot of people, they'll see Ricardo and I on the street and they'll be like, what going on with the Baja show? What going on? So they think that it's all done. You know where we come from in the Caribbean? We feel that things must remain the same. And a lot of people haven't realized is that we went digital and we were ahead of the curve. Before COVID, we realized that this is where the world was heading. Digital advertising, streaming, everything. Nobody believed me when I told them. They probably thought, oh my god, they're failing, they don't have that TV show. No, it's not making money. And if it's not making money, it's not making no sense, right?
100%.
We just don't do that. We're just ahead of the curve. We like to, you know, and I think that's what you guys do in the cricket, and that's just what I do off the field. I just like to look at the gaps and fill it, and I'm like, you know, why are we doing this way? We need to do it another way. Nobody buying magazines. Nobody not watching TV. You know, people hardly have laptop. Hint, hint. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Dwayne Barber doesn't have a laptop, okay? Barber, this is where it's at. Eyeballs. Phone and iPad. And Ricardo and myself, we saw this a long time ago. You know, we have a little sense, you know, and we're like, you can't keep doing the same things. Where's the world going to next? And that's what made you an exceptional cricketer, guys, like you and Pollard and Puran and Chris Gayle and all of y'all, because y'all were at a time where people, they were just in the Caribbean, they were just fixated on that test match. If you ain't played test cricket, you ain't good. You ain't worthy or some shit. Now, look at where we are.
We've been in a... So, like, I had a moment where I was able to experience tests, ODIs, and then also T20. And I remember when T20 now come out, everyone, especially the legends of the game, this is not cricket, this is rubbish, it's going to mash up the sport. And
some people say they're not commentating for that.
And now some of them, there's all they commentate for. They only wait for the T20 thing. But it is what it is. Like I said, we also live to see when it is where other players now are retiring earlier.
Right.
T20. And now, these guys are family. Well, it's a good decision. When we do it,
You remember? What about when we were talking about this with Polly the other day? What about when Ricardo left Jamaica cricket team to come play for Trinidad? Now there's CPL and everybody doing it.
But even the local boards, everybody doing it. I mean, I think it's just hard. I mean, and you think about sports, but it's not only in cricket alone. The Caribbean in general is like that. I mean, people like to feel that they're set in that way, and that's how they're supposed to be until death do them part. At the end of the day, the game has changed. I mean, Bravo, you have played. I mean, wow, you have played 40 test match, right? Right. Not a lot of people who play that amount of test match made the transition to play 578 T20s, 91 T20 international, 164 ODIs. Now, that career combined, that is like the complete cricketer. And when somebody were to probably look back and say, this man only supposed to play test cricket, you define that odd. Like, you are the complete cricketer who can say to a youngster tomorrow morning that you can do it all. Mm-hmm. Now, how would you advise them now going forward between the whole franchise cricket and international cricket? How do you see that, you know, unfolding in terms of the Caribbean? Where how could you advise a young player on the way forward?
I think also for me, because when I started, T20 wasn't really a thing. Came in like about 5 years later when I started my career, so I was able to play that amount of test matches before T20 cricket launched. It used to be like one-off games. Then there was a Stanford, I think, was the main first person. After England, Stanford was the main person.
Yes, you both played Stanford T20 together, right, for Trinidad?
Yeah.
Yes,
first year.
Oh my God.
I will always advise, I will never try to persuade a young player from not playing test cricket. I still believe that if you play test cricket, you could still have once you're good, you can have the best of both worlds.
Agreed.
The challenges now, that the difference is now, is that because T20 cricket is a forefront now, right, it will be hard to tell a youngster to turn down a contract in T20 or not focus on that and just focus on test cricket, because test cricket is literally on the decline. And I think it might, as harsh as it might sound, is just a reality, because even boards, the people who run and govern cricket, they invest a lot more money into the T20 formats. If you really check it out, because it's the only format that bring in sponsorship from.
If it's not making no money, it's not making no
sense. Exactly. So if these are the ashes, then which other test games, test nation will sold out stadium? So I think the youths now have options. Before, the options wasn't there. And now they find that they have options. The people who are in charge cannot just think that, okay, to be a cricketer, you have to be a test cricketer. No, you don't have to be a test. You can have a full, good, successful career without playing a test match. For example, Pollard, Puran, and these are the players who the young next generation will look up to. They're not going to look up to Lara and Viv and these guys. They never see these guys play, so they
understand.
But I will always try to encourage any youngster to follow your passion and make a decision that is life-changing, that is best for you, and not take all the outside noise. A lot of people get influenced by others and the outside noise. Oh, don't do this, don't do that. Play for your country and this and that. And your country don't pay bills. You know?
Woo!
but before you go beyond that, in terms of, you mentioned that test cricket you can do it all, but what, seeing that you're looking to go into the role of the coaching role, how important it is in terms of to have the foundation before entering into franchise cricket?
Yeah, I think the foundation is very important, because at some point in time in a T20 game, as much as short as it is, you will rely on foundation. You will rely on your ability to adjust and adapt and cope with pressure. And test cricket will prepare you for that. So even if, for example, a lot of my better T20 innings come from when my team are 4 or 5 wickets down in the first 5 or 6 overs. And I have to now go back into memory lane and put my mind into a zone where, okay, this is what I would have done. I faced the new ball already. You know, I know what to do when I need to bat, when I have time on my hands. So then they will have times where you need to step it up. So it helps me. Like if the ball is seaming a lot, you know, and I come on earlier than, you know, not in the last 4 or 5 overs, I can still have the ability to bowl the ball on top of off stump, shape the ball. So the fundamental of the game and the basics of the game still remains. Yeah, you still have that in T20. And where you see a lot of this generation struggling now is because they don't have the ability to trust the defense, to bat situations, to think out the game, to put the ball on one spot, because they all figure that T20 is about hitting sixes. Mm-hmm. They don't forget about it.
You have the foundation. That foundation still needs to be there.
It still needs. You look, even the best whoever do it, Chris Gayle. You check his test records. Mm-hmm. Chris Gayle is the best T20 player ever.
Are you telling me? I'm his agent.
So people will have their own opinion of who is the best.
Yeah.
Who is the GOAT?
Mm-hmm. He's the GOAT. And check his, hands down.
Check his stats. Numbers don't lie, you know?
Yeah.
Check his stats. So he come from a background where he also have a solid foundation in test cricket.
Solid.
Yeah.
So,
again,
it still have a room for it, but it's a hard choice now. It's a hard time now to tell a young player who is 19, 20 to go and play test cricket where it is. I mean,
But they still need it. Please tell them they still need foundation on the domestic team, you know?
Yes, I said the fundamentals, and that is still needed in the game.
Yeah. But remember as well, Bravo, you would know more than I would, that the franchise role also has changed, because nobody is putting up with you taking time to develop. Nobody is picking you to say, you know what, you can come and stay with us for the first 2 seasons and develop on the bench, and then we're going to play you.
Yes.
This is now a job. So you get selected to come in a franchise team, you have to perform, or else next year you're gone. So that is another side of the game that a lot of these young players don't understand. And you more than I can explain to them in terms of how this franchise will work, where what are the demands of franchise cricket now?
I think also what a lot of players fail to understand as well, they think franchise cricket and, let's say, for example, IPL, right? Everybody dream now is to get an IPL contract.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's a big contract or small contract, they just want to get into IPL. And I remember like about 2021, when I come back out of retirement to play the T20 for West Indies, we had a meeting, and I said to the players, I was like, you guys are always studying CPL, BPL, PSL, and all these different leagues, and neglecting international cricket. International cricket is the most important cricket to get your name into those big doors, because once you do well at international level, people will look at you. Not much people zoning into CPL, not much people zoning into BPL and all these things. But you want to get into IPL and they want people to recognize the name. Do well at international cricket. hence the reason why a lot of the other players in the different countries, the South Africans and the Australians, you see some of them get contract like, but how, where this guy come from? He played for Australia. He played for South Africa. He do well for South Africa. He do well for England. So all West Indian guys now think that to get a big IPL contract, they have to do well in CPL. No. CPL is just, they'll get you there. But when I play for West Indies, I play international cricket. That's where you need to dominate and do well. And I think this generation don't spend enough time investing in themselves. You know, so sometimes, like I tell young Drakes, last CPL, and Naeem Young, I always like, these are guys I have under my wings. You know, Drakes first stint in IPL with Chennai Super Kings, the short moment he had was me. Naeem Young, take him to Dubai, all these guys. I was like, you guys like cricket, you don't love cricket. It's a different, you like it, you like it because cricket make you fly throughout the Caribbean.
Hotels. It's not a vacation.
I see some of these guys just be wearing a bib and happy. Like, you're on the bench, bro. How can you be so happy? Oh, yeah. Boss, no. And then when they come back the next year, you come back the same player. You're not, you're not adding anything else to your game. I say you need to spend more time and invest it in their game. I wish, like, I, you know, people that do surgeries to do different things. I wish I could do a surgery to reduce my age.
Yeah.
All I have such a
serious. I too. I too. Not to play cricket, but I would like to do surgery to reduce my age.
Yeah. How cricket going now? These guys have no idea.
Yeah.
I just seen them losing grip and training with a career. And for me, it's like I'll give you one chance, two chance, and if I realize, like, boss, you must stress about life. I can want it for you. I don't talk and do so much, but players invest in themselves, in their fitness, in their craft, watch the game, understand.
But Robert, that's what Polly said as well, because they don't understand that franchise cricket, you're like a consultant where you have to deal with your fitness, deal with your health, deal with your nutrition, deal with your physio. There's no board behind you when you become a franchise player. You're now your own boss. So you have to do everything to make sure that you keep up here.
And domestic seasons.
It's a balance. And I think it's very important, again, when you have a mentor like yourself who can explain to them, but also not everybody's going to take that information and run with it. You have the odd guys who will be like, you know what? Let me listen to this man. He's been here for 20-something years doing this shit. Let me listen and hear what he have to say. Whilst you have some of them like, who you think he is, blah, 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 blah. You think he can do
it? Perfect scenario, right? About 5 CPLs ago, 4 CPLs ago, you know Tion Webster? Right. Terrence Hines, right? So that CPL that year, Lendell went on sole. Dwayne Smith went on soul, Marlon Samuels went on soul in CPL, right? And I never forget that moment, boss. I was right here in my house. I was just part of the draft with TK. That time I was TK captain. And I see Simmons go on soul. I see Marlon Samuels on soul, Dwayne Smith. I was like, So Tion Webster get picked last and I pick him, right? Nobody else bid for him, right? So I jump in my car after the draft. I go down in the oval because I know they're practicing. I reach here like about 10 to 5. I stop the practice session. I say, guys, come. I say, well, let's see what just happened in CPL draft. I say, yeah. I say, well, let's see Lendell Simmons went on. So then Lendell is like about 34 or something. I still could play. I say, Tion, look at you. They thought you to be the next Bravo. Where is in your cricket career, boss? I say, this lineman, this party, you know, this drinking. I say, that is good and all that is fine. I do it, trust me.
You don't drink. You don't know you don't drink.
You're like me. Right? Tell them that straight up. Right?
Say it again.
I said, none of you guys get party like me. None of you guys have woman like me.
All right.
But I don't put any of these things in front of cricket. All the lifestyle and everything is in front of cricket. So I had a serious conversation with them. I tell them, boss, all I get serious is all in life. Mm-hmm. I leave. That had that conversation Thursday afternoon, right? Thursday night. In the night, you know? You know, 51 nightclub.
Yeah.
I gone 51 in the night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bongs in the club, who I can see. The three of them was now talk to me today. The table full of champagne. I watch them, I laugh. I ain't say nothing. The next day now, Friday, we had a Queen's Park T20 finals to play. Mm. And all of you going on in Lara. And I go on to them. I say, boss, and now talk to all in the day. We're going in the club. You know what you want to tell me? Champion, I might talk to me, you know, but not on a Thursday night. Not on a Thursday night. Thursday night is a pump night. So let's imagine like a Ricardo Powell talking to me when I was young, or Dylan talking to me when I was young. You feel if Paul tell me, Bravo, do this. I listening. I not even say driving in front of 51.
Yeah.
But them, this I tell you, this generation, they're different now. They're different. So Paul
and they were born entitled. Like they came at a time when everything was easier. Yeah, everything was easier. And listen, young people, I'm not bad talking, no, Gen X or whatever name all you give this up. But these are facts. You know, like how our parents would tell us long time, Bravo, they would be like, well, you meet life easy. And we don't even meet life easy, but they will tell us that, right? You remember those words?
Yeah.
That's literally what is happening now. So they're born at the time where they're seeing all of the luxuries that we've been able to buy from hard work. Mm-hmm. But they didn't see the hard work.
They didn't see the luxury. Yes, they see the after results.
Yes, so yeah. They feel in their head, one-on-one make zero, make one-on-one make 11. Because one-on-one is supposed to be, you work out a domestic cricket and you may get to IPL. No, for them, you work enough and you get to branch off in IPL or ILT or whatever. You make it. That is the problem I have with the messaging being sent by the franchise world. And one more thing I wanted to add, which has nothing to do with cricket, because I can't talk about that like yourself and Ricardo. I could talk about for my world as a marketer and as a brander. You know the cricketers who are the best commodity to me? The ones who play international. And then, because they are brands, and brands don't really develop now, just playing franchise. And these young cricketers don't understand that. Mm-hmm. Listen, I can't bat a ball, but when it comes to marketing and media, I'm the best to ever do it in this cricket circle. Let them know that.
Yes,
I cannot do it with people who have no name.
Yeah. Brand is the most powerful thing. Brand is the most powerful thing. I went and watched a cricket game Friday night. That's normal village cricket thing. And then the guy, Blue Waters, was one of the sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy come with a Blue Water bottle. And I could hold it and take a picture. I said, hold on. So, I said, no, boss, it don't work. So he was like, oh, sorry. But
he knows how it works.
Serious note, how much I go charge for something like this? I said, how much you feel like a payment? Mm-hmm. Hey, boy. $3,000 to $5,000. That's not the love. I said, you're going to that. I said, no, boss. But
that is something that I don't understand as well. Even though they know the marketing, like those people who come to you with that bottle, they understand marketing and your brand and what it will bring to them.
They understand your value. They think you don't understand it.
I don't know.
But a lot of people in the Caribbean don't respect your value.
That's the thing.
And that is why outside of the Caribbean, you have to go and make it bigger and then come back and then they start showing you respect. But just to segue a little bit from that, Bravo, do you think that mindset of the Caribbean players based on where you and I grew up to where they are now, do you think that mindset can change?
Yeah.
Well, I think I think conversations like this, they need to be educated. They need to, because a lot of the youths really need guidance, right? And I can speak for myself. I can speak for Polly. We will always try. But if you look at the Trini players. Yeah. We are more close-netted.
Yeah.
You know, so like I said, Lara was Lara, but I didn't have someone to hold my hand and walk with me. Mm-hmm. You know, class cricket, you know, yeah, the Richard, they have like move and these guys do the little part. Mm-hmm. But in terms of reaching out, picking up a phone, hey, sign this person. I'm coming under these conditions. This guy has to come too. This physio need to come.
Yeah.
We created that trend in Trinidad, so that we have to like look after each other.
Yeah.
So that when you go, these guys know how to understand. They have to look after the next generation as well. But it's all have to be with education. I think you know, as you said, they just see the finished product. You know, yesterday I finished training. Like, I mean, I'll be 41 in October, and I had like a 3.5 hour training session yesterday. And when I was leaving the clinic, Dr. Oba turned to me and said, boy, champion, boy, them youth that doesn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in the room and it's like I'm crying, like I'm in tears, I'm in pain. Yeah. Like,
but you're not even now. Yeah.
Because at the end of the day,
when
I cross the line, I want to be able to perform. I want to be able to give 100%. I want, like, if that parent decides to bring their child to see a TKR game, we'll see DJ Bravo play, and that's his only time
you're going to see. Yeah.
He has to remember me as,
Giving it all. You left nothing on the field.
Nothing behind. Yeah. So I will do everything in my power to keep my body ready. But I just find the next generation, as I said, they're entitled. They didn't get picked or they're against me. This one fighting me. This one, boss, you fighting yourself.
Yeah. And you have to remember not to talk to them on a Tuesday night.
yeah, you look for all the different reasons why they
like it. That's the best.
Wow.
You know? No, but and before we run out of time, I want to touch on some other stuff. First of all, I was so taken aback. You know, sometimes you know you believe that you're not so old, and then you see a post on Instagram, and I see you put that post with your daughter and she's age 20. I'm like, no. Like, no, my son is age 20, right? And I'm like, shit, yes, these children born the same year. Like, I can't believe, like, bravo, where did the time go? I remember her mother sitting down in the stand with me, a little baby, my son a little bigger, and then now they're 20.
By the time you blink,
know, and she's grown up and all of the kids into such a fine young woman. I see when you post and I see, of course, when I come to Trinidad. But, you know, I want to talk about family life and how not just family life with your children, but with your parents and your dad and your mom, and just your family exudes such happiness. And your family looks very different from my family. For example, you know, your kids have different moms. And usually that don't work very well, you know, and well, for most people, how are you able to achieve this multi-family scandal-free existence? No, because there's nobody who can look at your life and it's in a way. So this is a really authentic compliment. Like, you, the way you are as a dad, you can see the connection with you and your children, who are not all in the same home unless they all come to your home when you're not traveling, right? But please explain to young black men who, because no, my husband always says to me, babes, marriage is not for everybody, right? And I'm like, really? He said, no, he's been telling me this for 20 some years. He wasn't speaking of himself, by the way, right?
Yeah.
And he says, no, and so now. No, actually, it was you either. At that time, you didn't have a child yet, you know. And he explained that to me, but then I didn't. What I didn't understand is that if you don't want to be married, how can you get it right with taking care? A lot of black men, they want to have kids all over the place, and they're not taking care of. You can still raise your children. I don't see a child of yours that I know of who wouldn't become an adult not feeling extremely loved by their dad. And that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Because you have people who are in nuclear situations, family's environment, and they don't feel the love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, well, obviously this is something that, you know, when I grew up, they ain't planned this. They ain't planned to say, okay, I want to have kids with 3 and 4 and 5 different mothers, you know. It just happened like that. As I said, my daughter, she just turned 20, and it took me like literally 9 years before I had my next child, my first son. But for me, the kids is the most important. And also, I want my kids to have a relationship. Grow up, like, understanding each other, loving each other.
They do.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely. And my personality is one where I didn't even think I've, like, malice against anyone.
Yeah.
I just try to create an environment where I respect people. Yes. So I respect my kids' mothers, and I want them to have an understanding. They're not going to be, like, best friends or whatever, but mutual respect for each other. And they're mature enough. I'm happy that they are mature enough.
Well, you guys so lucky. Not one of them misbehaved itself.
Not a can misbehave.
Ah, that is it. Yes.
Because again, I treat
everybody
equally. I treat them right. My kids are well taken care of. I provide for them. Like, that's one of my strong points. You know, my challenge, the only downside to it, is that I don't be around much.
Yeah.
And I see my kids grow without me being around. You know, so the smaller one, Dwayne, he get more of my time because, you know, I'm not as busy as much. You know, so, and I try to be with him as much as possible, pick him up from school and stuff. Yeah. But it's hard. And so all the black fathers, as you mentioned, out there, regardless, if it don't work out with the mom,
take care of your kids.
That's nothing to do with that. Just make sure you be there, show up for your kids all the time.
Yeah.
And people say, well, he has money, that's why he was able to do it. They don't have the money.
Time is,
it's about the time that you spend with them. I mean, that is what they will remember at the end of the day, the quality time.
A lot of men have money and they're not sending the check. Come on now.
Yeah, that's not good. Like my dad has the money. My dad, I grew up in a home where my dad is a taxi driver.
Yeah.
And even just before you guys call, you see him.
Still coming to cook for you.
He was now telling my friend that I have no money. I have no bank. I didn't have a bank account. You know? And that is the truth. The guy is 72 years old. He don't have a bank account. He don't have money in a bank. He just, like, he lived today for today.
Yeah, still like that?
Still. And what we call him, the happiest poor man alive, is my
He's father. The happiest man alive. But honestly, though, Arlo, come on. Morgan is not being real because he has no money, but his sons take care of him.
Well, come he know if he need money. So, like, and again,
that's
some families, right? Some parents know that the kids have money and they take advantage of the situation. Happy that both my parents still remain the same way. Like, my father, if my father asks for $500, and I give him $1,000.
Yeah.
He said, no, I want 500.
Aww.
Give me back the 5. Even if I give him 7.
He give you back.
I want 500. This is what I want. He literally asks for exactly what he wants. All right, my birthday coming up. You know what I want? give me $2,000. I go to that. You know? You don't go beyond $2,000. My father never asked me for more than $2,000. That's less than.
Are you kidding? That's less than 300 US or 300 US roughly.
Wow. So he's just, and he'll come, he'll cook for me clean. And my mom is the same thing. Like, one time I called my mother, a few years ago, I'd buy a car for her birthday. She had turned 50, 55 at that time.
Yeah.
I'd buy a car for her birthday, blah, blah, blah. And like about 2 years later, I call her. Sometime I was away and I hear cars passing. I say, Mom, where are you? She traveling, waiting for a taxi. I say, taxi. I say, where your car? Yeah, like she gave my younger brother, Sween. The next one is play cricket. I was like, Jesus Christ. I said, well, why you didn't tell me something? No, I don't want to harass it. But I'm happy my values that I grew up with, I get it from my parents. And I remain grounded and happy like that, contented.
No, so I don't want the show to finish without hearing from the fans. Some people have some some questions for you. This segment is called Asking for the Fans. So let the fans, you know, when they hear you were coming through, they wanted to ask you this question. So here we go.
Hey, Dwayne Bravo. My name is Saki Haricha, and my question is, which city in India is your favorite place to play cricket in?
That would be an easy question. I would say Chennai.
I think that's what it is here. All right, another fan has another question for you. I want to know the answer for this one as well.
Hey, Mr. Dwayne Bravo. This is Veer Patel. Who's your favorite Indian cricket player?
And why? He forgot that part.
Favorite Indian cricket player. Wow. I would say MS Dhoni.
Oh, why?
MS Dhoni, I think because he's very humble and playing with him over the years, I learned so much from him about life and also as a cricket player, mm-hmm. and as a leader. So I will say definitely MS Dhoni.
Okay. And there you have it. Yeah. So I want to talk about, I saw the other day on Instagram that one of your signature event is back. I don't think you've had it since COVID, right?
I didn't have it last year.
Last year. Okay, last year was the first year since COVID. So it's back. Tell us some more about that. Who's going to be there? You know, am I past trip? I get VVIP tickets. Who knows?
With that face, use VVIP. Nobody can stop you. You understand? But yeah, I didn't have it last year. But this year, I bring it back. And it's an event that people look forward to.
Yes.
This is going to be 7 years. And it's for my foundation. Yeah, it's still all right. It's still all right. And it's for the Dwayne Bravo, DJ Bravo Foundation, where I will always find a home, mostly targeted for abandoned kids and the privileged kids, the less fortunate. And we will provide whatever they need. You know, in some instance, some of them needed beds. The building to be painted over. We'll hand over checks as well to help throughout the year. So it's an event that is very classy, premium drinks.
Where is it going to be held in Trinidad?
It's going to be in Club Zen. So we're going to reopen.
Zen is still alive?
Zen is still alive. It's only open for special moments. So
special people!
Yeah, so
it's
an event that really people look forward to come in, and it's always been a success over the years.
And tell us the date again, and the day of, is it a Thursday night?
It's a Sunday. It's a Sunday into night kind of event kind of thing. So it's Sunday, the 15th of September, 5 p.m. till midnight.
Nice. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you can guarantee me, I'll have VVIP access. I might fly in for it. You know.
All right.
You never know. But no, that is for a great cause, and I've actually, since we've been living abroad, I've never been to it. But I definitely would like to support in some way or the other. We'll talk about that. Okay.
Yeah. We are only the same time CPL comes, so all the players as also be there, be involved as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. I look forward to being there.
Yeah. Well, DJ, I mean, champion, I mean, it's always a pleasure. I mean, it took us a while to get this organized because you're such a busy guy and we understand. Mm-hmm. And I on this public platform would want to definitely wish you all the best in terms of your future endeavor after your retirement or refirement, because like I said, you're the kind of player any day I would want to be on a cricket field with you and Polly, you and Sammy, these kind of guys, Renako Martin, God rest his soul. But whenever you're on cricket field with players like yourselves, you want to play cricket, you want to feel that energy, you just know that things is going to happen. And if you can, I shouldn't say if you can, but when you bring that kind of vibe, that energy to any change room, that team will always do well. We saw that in the recent World Cup with Afghanistan. And I mean, it was clear that your presence was there and it was felt. And I wish you all the best in those areas. And I know that you're going to do well. But thank you very much for being on the platform with us. And we look forward to future collaborations.
Yeah.
And listen, Bravo, don't tell Polly this, right? But you're my favorite.
I want to know between me and Gail. I want to know.
Yeah, so we'll talk next week now.
Yeah,
coming to that event, boy. you want to lose my work, man?
No. Being second to the universe boss is okay.
No. You know, Gail is my favorite.
You're my favorite too, so it's all good.
Oh my God, listen, people don't know, you know, whenever we get together, it's always a nice time, it's a lot of laughter, and I haven't laughed so hard in a long time. So,
yeah,
have to catch up soon. Don't forget to follow Gravo on Instagram and show you're following him anyway, and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Follow 124. Stay tuned for more episodes on the 124 Cricket Video Podcast. And in the name of Dwayne Bravo, I want to remind you to live the life you love and love the life you live.
Yes.
It's your girl, Basha, with Ricardo Powell and Sir Champion. Way out. Okay? Oh, my God. I'm trying to find the closing credits, and I cannot find the closing credits. No joke.